Welcome to Operationally Excellent Podcast, your benchmark for innovation, success, and entrepreneurship in the natural gas industry. Brought to you by Durand Benchmarking's Global Gas Transmission Benchmark, the GGTB allows gas transmission system operators to achieve their performance and efficiency goals by comparing their performance to that of their peers so they can identify the correct opportunities to focus on and plan effectively. I'm your host, Pavel Levy.
Can a transmission system operator play a central role in promoting positive innovation in the gas industry, or should it settle for observing from the sideline? Today, we will be talking to Anne-Marie Colbert from Gas Networks Ireland, the gas transmission system operator for Ireland, and specifically about their Gas Innovation Fund. GNI's Gas Innovation Fund is intended to promote and encourage an environment of innovation in the gas industry. The idea is for GNI to engage with key stakeholders to share knowledge and leverage the best use of all resources for innovation. Ultimately, its intention is to foster creativity, tailor innovation, and consider solutions that meet present and future needs of the gas industry and the gas consumers in Ireland.
Anne-Marie, welcome to the Operational Excellence Podcast.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks very much for having me.
Anne-Marie, today we're going to be talking about the Gas Innovation Fund, but first, please tell us a bit about yourself and your role in Gas Networks Ireland.
Okay, I have been working for Gas Networks Ireland for just 15 years, and it used to be called Borgosh, so it's been through a number of changes. I work in the commercial department within Gas Networks Ireland, and my role is the Commercial Policy and Governance Manager. So it's kind of a broad enough role, covers elements of policy, gas advocacy, funding, both European and national, performance reporting, and also innovation. And so as part of my role, I manage the governance for the PC4 Innovation Fund.
Thank you for that. So yes, that's what we're going to be talking about today, the PC4 Innovation Fund. So let's start with its background. How was it born? What were the challenges that it was trying to overcome originally?
Okay, so it actually started a number of years ago. So this is the PC4 Innovation Fund is actually the second one. So GNI, Gas Networks Ireland, is a regulated entity. So we go through price control periods every 5 years where we discuss with the regulator about what the company needs to actually run the gas network safely. And I suppose as part of the discussions that we would have had for PC3, which would have been back in sort of 2011, 2012, this idea of an innovation fund was discussed between both the company and the regulator. And I suppose the idea behind it originally was sort of twofold in that there was sort of a look to the future and to see, you know, how the demand on the network would increase or decrease. And Ireland, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but Ireland has quite a lot of wind energy, and gas-fired generation is used to back up that wind energy. And that wind energy has been a huge asset to the country and has increased over time. And I suppose that has meant that gas-fired generation has sort of moved from being baseload to more mid-merit. So there's been less gas utilization in power generation overall. And that's sort of the trend, that's the way it's going. So I suppose the fund was to look at ways of maybe increasing utilization of the network that might mitigate against future reduction in gas demand. And also to look at innovation in general, like not just projects, but also research, and to work with other stakeholders outside of the company to try and generate ideas and see was there better ways of doing things operationally as well. So it's not just about increasing utilization, but even how are we operating the network and what can we do maybe to make that better. And I suppose then that was sort of the original idea back in PC3, and that ran for 5 years, and that was an innovation fund of 8 million. And then we had another price control a couple of years ago, and again, there was a discussion around innovation, and the regulator looked at what was done with the last innovation fund, and we had some more discussions, and they could see the importance of innovation and the work that we were trying to do. And so they agreed to an allowance of up to 20 million for the PC4 Innovation Fund. But more than half of that has actually been ring-fenced for a particular project called the Causeway Study. And this is a study of the impact on the operation of the gas network of having a certain number of CNG stations operating on the network. And this is one that is also part-funded by the EU, the Connecting Europe Facility. And so it's a really good project because Ireland is like a test bed. Because it's an island and because it's a contained network, you can look at, okay, if we build a number of CNG stations and those will be taking gas from the gas network, and then it's to see how that might affect the operation of the gas network. And so that's ongoing at the moment. We've built a number of stations, and there are a number of more stations that need to be built as well. So that's sort of the ring-fenced part of the Innovation Fund. And then there's also another part of it, like 1 million has been ring-fenced for research, and 3.17 million has been ring-fenced for strategic projects. So this would be sort of pilot projects or demonstration projects. And it's quite a flexible fund from that point of view, in terms of having, say, two categories. It was more prescriptive in the last Innovation Fund, in that it was looking specifically at compressed natural gas, renewable gas, research and kind of program management. So this time around, it's a little bit more open. And, you know, it's because you don't know sort of maybe what ideas might be out there. And we are looking at various projects at the moment. So it's quite open. It's open to the public. I mean, I suppose the thing that sort of grounds it is that there are kind of four key priorities that the regulator has set out. And some of those would be, say, increasing utilization of the network and working towards a low carbon economy for Ireland and creating value for the gas customer. So obviously the regulator is very focused on the gas customer as well. And I suppose one of the reasons that they're interested in ensuring that we increase utilization on the network is that we have a set amount of revenue, and the cost of using the network is dependent on the demand at a very high level. So the more people that are using the network, the less expensive it is for everybody to use the network. So there's a real key reason for increasing utilization of the network.
Fantastic. So it sounds like the key here is, how can GNI play a role in shaping the future of gas in Ireland, and particularly as a TSO? So once that it was identified that there are several opportunities or challenges that need an innovative solution for this, how did you go about developing a governance and administration framework to roll out and actually run this fund?
Yeah, so I suppose there was an initial governance and administration framework that was set up under the PC3 Innovation Fund, which was kind of mainly based around a gas innovation group. So this is kind of a group of external experts that we would liaise with. And I suppose when it came to looking at the new fund, the PC4 Innovation Fund, you know, it was felt that this was a good time to go back and review the governance and the administration and maybe explore potential changes that could make the process easier both for ourselves and for other people interacting with the fund. So the original Gas Innovation Group, we contacted all of the members and asked them if they were interested in still being involved, because they're experts from, you know, academia, but also from the Economic Social Research Institute in Ireland, various universities, and we also have a number of government departments involved as well. And so everybody that we contacted was very happy to continue working with us. And so we have a Gas Innovation Advisory Group, and that's the external experts, and they provide technical, commercial and policy inputs. But we also have an internal group called the Innovation Steering Committee, which is a cross-functional decision-making group within Gas Networks Ireland. And so both of these groups meet once a quarter. And so the idea behind that is the advisory group reviews the applications. And I suppose even prior to that, even if we go back to the application previously, we had used like a paper-based application, and we've now moved to an online application form, which in itself creates challenges when you're working with technology. And it's something that we're always focused on improving. So we haven't made a number of changes to the online form over the past sort of 18 months, but it is one where we've kind of pushed the applicants to be quite concise when they're filling out the form. So we put character limits on the responses to the questions, and that's to ensure that they try and get their ideas across as succinctly as possible. But also it means that when we're coming to review the application form, that the reviewers are getting the information, you know, as quickly as possible, and are hopefully understanding the project quite easily. And I suppose what we do is, once the application forms come in, there's a person internally who reviews all the applications to make sure that, you know, that all of the questions have been filled out correctly. And we often need to go back to applicants to ask them maybe to clarify a question. And then once we have complete sets of the application forms, then those go to the advisory group prior to the quarterly meeting that we have. And so at the quarterly meeting with the advisory group, we go through all of the applications and we have a discussion about them, the merits of them, or if there are any concerns about them. And I suppose the application form, we're asking people for a description of the project. We're looking at, you know, the rationale behind it. What's the relevance of it? How does it meet the key priorities that we have? What's the budget for it? What's the rationale behind the budget? Or how can they justify, say, the budget? Because obviously the budget is a key part of it. And then things like maybe how mature is the project? How far along are they in their the work that they're doing on it? And whether they foresee any challenges with the project and how they would mitigate against those challenges. And so there's, you know, a very good discussion with the advisory group, and, you know, the people there are really good about giving feedback on the projects. And so once we've collected all of the feedback from the technical experts, a number of weeks later, then we have the internal advisory or the internal innovation steering committee meeting. And that's where the cross-functional team within G&I, so people from different departments across the company, actually sit down and review the applications. And there's another discussion about the applications, and we also present to them the feedback that we've gotten from the advisory group, so that when it comes to making a decision, they sort of have all of the information that they need. And if it's a situation where there's still some outstanding questions, then sometimes the decision on an application would be put on hold until we have more clarity on a project. But that's basically what happens in terms of how they're reviewed. And I suppose they're, when it comes to the Innovation Steering Committee, all of the applications are scored against a number of topics, say their relevance or the level of innovation within the project, the impact that project could have or the practical applications. The feedback from the advisory group is important, as is the organizational fit. So does the project fit with what we're trying to do as a company? And then the maturity of the project and the challenges. And so after the meeting, once decisions have been made, then all successful and unsuccessful applicants are contacted. And if people want feedback, then we provide feedback to them. And then I suppose the next stage is really about, for the successful applicants, it's looking at putting a contract in place with them, so that, you know, once it has been agreed what we're going to fund, that there is a clear structure there and that there are milestones, and then payments are normally linked to the milestones, just so it's very clear and set out exactly what the situation is between the innovation fund and the applicant. And I suppose as part of that as well, that we do have sort of oversight from the regulator. So the regulator produced a document called the Gas Innovation Fund Reporting Framework, and that's where they set out the report requirements that they have for the fund. So for all the successful applicants, we fill out an initial innovation project report, and that's sent to the regulator. And once a year, they look for an annual report, and that's where we report on, you know, say the number of applications that we've had, how many of them have been successful, the different projects that we have allocated funding to, and the general progress of the groups that we use, the advisory group and the innovation steering committee, and also like all the progress, say, the projects are making over time.
Thank you for that. So it's clear that you have a very robust process and framework. I'm just curious, what has the end result of this been? What sort of projects has the fund been involved with?
Yeah, I suppose the most progress has been made, say, with projects that were funded actually under the PC3 Innovation Fund. And I suppose quite a lot of the funding went towards compressed natural gas. So that's something that we didn't have in Ireland. And it's something, you know, it's quite an issue for Ireland in terms of trying to find ways to decarbonize the transport sector. It's quite a difficult one to decarbonize. And so basically the PC3 Innovation Fund started off with funding trials with different companies across Ireland, and those were very successful. And that enabled us then to actually form partnerships with a number of companies in terms of actually building compressed natural gas refueling stations. And also within the fund, I suppose the fund being there helped GNI to apply for EU funding, because we had already started to work on CNG. It enabled us to sort of have projects and create projects that had started and then apply for EU funding, which we were able to do successfully, and then be able to kind of do the projects on a bigger scale because it would have some EU funding and EU backing. And so that's been, you know, a big success of the Innovation Fund, to actually have sort of some seed money that you can trial things and try things out, and then, you know, once the concept has been proven, that you can move on and then have sort of bigger projects, demonstration projects or pilot projects, and then say the Causeway study is a much bigger project then, with like 14 CNG stations being built across the country along the core 10T network. And then looking at the impact that has on the network and being able to disseminate those learnings to the rest of Europe as well. Also, the PC3 Innovation Fund has, you know, funded research in renewable gas, which is something that is, you know, very important for decarbonizing the gas network. And I suppose a lot of work has been done looking at the different types of feedstock. So I suppose in Ireland, a lot of work has been done on the use of grass and the use of agricultural waste to actually create biogas, which is then upgraded to biomethane. And we've also been involved in a project where we've built the first renewable gas injection facility, and where renewable gas has been injected into the network. So there's been a lot of progress. I mean, it's quite slow at times, and you know, because of all of this is new, sometimes things take longer than you would expect. But definitely the innovation funding has really helped us to kind of look beyond the normal transportation of gas and to look at other things. And I suppose even with the PC4 Innovation Fund, like one of the projects that we've invested in is a front-end engineering design for a large-scale transmission central grid injection facility. So this is where you would have central grid injection or entry point within an area that would be able to take gas, renewable gas, from a number of anaerobic digestion plants within the area. So rather than just having, you know, a small direct injection facility where you might have a large AD on a farm and then the renewable gas or the biogas is upgraded by methane and then injected into the network, the central grid injection is about having lots of ADs in an area, anaerobic digesters, say, on a number of farms within a particular area, and then transporting the biomethane from the farms to a central grid injection facility and then injecting it into the network. So that's, you know, a project that's ongoing at the moment. Another project is looking at sort of a feasibility study within Dingle. So Dingle is an area in the west of Ireland, and it's on a small town on a peninsula. And basically it's sort of looking at the different types of energy sources that they could use, and the different types of maybe decarbonizing transportation in the area as well. So it's a small feasibility study, but that's just another example of one of the projects that is currently being worked on at the moment.
That's great. Thank you. That's certainly some big projects, very impactful ones, and a lot of milestones for the natural gas industry in Ireland. So going forward, what insights or wisdom could you share with our listeners, and particularly perhaps those who are working with TSOs that don't have these sorts of innovation funds, about the practicalities or tactical knowledge you've gained through having successfully managed this fund?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there's been a lot of things that we've learned sort of over the years, especially now that this is our second fund. And it is something that you're continuously learning really all the time about maybe ways of improving how you're doing things. But what I would say is definitely setting up a clear governance structure, and so that, you know, and clear terms of reference for the advisory group, clear terms of reference for the innovation steering committee, because, you know, once people know exactly what their roles and responsibilities are, that's very important. And even small things like when you have an advisory group and you're dealing with a lot of external experts who are very busy, it's good to set out at the start of the year all of the meetings for that year. You know, there's only four of them quarterly generally, but it's good to at least have those in the diary, and then you can work towards them, because people's diaries fill up really, really quickly. So it's handy to have that sorted out, and just even structure around, you know, that you'd send out the agenda like a week beforehand, that the minutes would go out a week after it, so that people on the committees know when to expect documentation and that they can react to it. And it just means that there's more certainty for them. And I think that, you know, kind of helps. Also having very clear key priorities for the Innovation Fund, so everybody knows what the Innovation Fund is about, what it's trying to achieve. And those in our case were set by the regulator, which was really helpful. And that means that the regulator and ourselves are on the same page in terms of what we're looking for the fund to do. And it's also really helpful that the regulator has set out a clear reporting structure. And that's something that you know, is great because you know what you're working towards and you're mindful all the time of the kind of information you need to be collecting to ensure that you can show the benefits of the fund and, you know, explain the progress that you're happening or if there have been any delays in any of the projects, that you can explain that and that it's done in a kind of a structured manner. So I think definitely interacting with the regulator on a regular basis is also very worthwhile so that they know what's happening with the fund and that they're happy with the progress that's being made.
Fantastic. So setting a clear governance structure, making sure everyone agrees on the key priorities of the fund and being on the same page as regulator, very useful insights. Thank you. What's next for the Gas Innovation Fund? Is this something that GNI is going to be continuing in the future?
Well, I suppose we sort of are going from price control to price control. I mean, this is our second fund, and we're actually coming to the end of our second year out of 5 years. So we have another 3 years to run on this price control. So we're very much concentrating on getting in good quality applications. We've done some promotional work around the Innovation Fund to raise awareness about it, having pieces on LinkedIn and also on Twitter and on the website where there's a lot of information about the Innovation Fund and where you find the online application form. There's also a set of sort of submission deadlines so that people know when to apply for funding, the next time to apply for funding. It gives them a better idea of if you apply now and then there is a certain time period where the applications need to be assessed and then you will get an answer basically on whether your application has been successful or not. But there are a number of projects that we're looking at and that we're very interested in, especially around sort of the renewable gas area and different types of renewable gas, and also even say home heating. That's another area that we're looking at. There's a small project to do with sort of fuel choice and secondhand properties. We're also looking at within grid compression for renewable gas. And so there's quite a few projects that have been approved and we're at the contract stage. So it's slow moving enough, but we're getting there. It's sort of small steps of progress along to getting sort of good projects up and running.
Excellent. And if our listeners want to learn more about the fund and how they can participate or learn from it, how can they do so?
Yeah, like the fund is specific to the Republic of Ireland, but there's information on the Gas Networks Ireland website. There's a page on there that relates to the Gas Innovation Fund. So even if you go onto the Gas Networks Ireland website and do a search for Innovation Fund, you'll find a number of pages of information there and a link to the online application form.
Anne-Marie, that was great. Thank you. So many insights. Thank you for joining us today in Operationally Excellent.
Thanks very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us at Operationally Excellent. If you'd like to hear more episodes or you'd like to participate in the podcast, please visit us at durandbenchmarking.com/operationallyexcellent.